Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the public session of the DNS Security and Stability Advisory, analysis working group. This is Julie Hedlund from ICANN staff. We will be starting in a few minutes. I would ask first if there is anyone on the telephone.
Yep, Mikey's here.
Hi, Mikey. If you want to give us just a couple minutes for bringing up slides and that sort of thing, and so just in a minute or two, and we'll be getting started. Is there anyone else on the line? Great. Hold on for a moment, Mikey, and we'll get started shortly.
Julie, I think Andre Thompson is on the line, too. He's probably muted.
Hi, morning, Andy. I'm listening, and everything is fine. Go ahead and proceed.
So, again, this is the public session of the DNS Security and Stability Analysis Working Group. And we do have the slides up, and we're ready to go. Mikey, had you planned to run this meeting?
Yeah, I was, although I'm on an Adobe room that doesn't have any slides in it, or at least...
Are you on the Adobe Connect room that is linked to the meeting site on the ICANN meeting schedule, as opposed to the Adobe Connect room we use for our private meetings?
I'm in the one that...
There's a link on the website on the ICANN meeting schedule that links to the public Adobe Connect room, which is the one we'll be using for this meeting.
Okay, let me jump in there.
We do have
and
it
then,
up.
Yeah, I was going to run the meeting. I even have an agenda. Pretty exciting. Hang on just a second while
sure.
I get it.
Sure, and Christina is in the Adobe Connect room, and then I'm running the slides here in the physical session just to give you a sense of who's doing what so you can command us accordingly.
Well, while I stumble into the right Adobe room, welcome everybody. The way that we're going to structure this meeting is that this is a public meeting, and so many of you are probably in the room are not members of the DSSA, and so what we thought we would do is spend the first part of the meeting summarizing things that in a way that you may find interesting. And then the latter part of the meeting is actually going to be a working session of the group. And you may find that less interesting, although you're welcome to stay for the whole session. Yes, indeed, I am in the correct room, Julie. I'm in Dakar B5, which is the one that's on the schedule. And it's not... showing me anything.
Hold on a second, because I think Christina's saying she's not seeing you. Hold on.
I could come in again. Maybe that's the thing to do. Anyway, while I'm stumbling around, I'll bet one or two or three or four of my co-chairs are in the room. And let me kick off the first topic, because... we don't really need the Adobe room for that topic, and that is to go around the room and summarize some of the feedback that we have gotten, we the co-chairs and anybody else in the working group, from the various update sessions that we had with the SOs and ACs this week. I met with the GNSO, and I'm sure that the other co-chairs have things to report as well. Then after we spend about 10 minutes doing that, we'll take a few minutes and just report back from a meeting that we had with the SSRT group this morning, and wrap up this first half hour with a little discussion of sort of where we are now and where we are going. and see what's going on there. And then the next half hour is going to be a working session of DSSA members, in which we're going to talk a little bit about picking one of the many topics that we've put in scope as a pilot project for the analysis phase, which is starting up next. So those of you who have a copy of our one-pager in front of you, start looking for your favorite one and then prepare to talk about that in a small group session. We'll do that for about a half an hour. And then the last half hour we're going to spend, again, in face-to-face session, small groups, talking about how we conduct this analysis. And again, this is pretty preliminary and probably pretty inside baseball for observers, but again, you're all welcome to stay. So while the Adobe room gets sorted out, Olivier, I'm going to just throw a dart and see if you're in the room and see if you wanted to kick off our discussion about what you've heard this week about the work we've done and so on and so forth.
Mikey, this is Julie. Olivier is unfortunately not in the room, so your dart did not hit its target.
Oh, rat. How about some other co-chairs?
And we did send you some information about the Adobe Connect room. We do actually have several people in the room, so we've sent you a link to that, and hopefully that will sort that. I do have Jorg here, and also... And Jim Galvin was here but did have to leave. But I don't know if Jorg wants...
Can kick it off.
Okay, Jorg is saying he's willing to kick it off.
So, hi, Mikey. Hi, everybody. Jorg Schweiger, co-chair for the CCNSO. So I try to give Mikey a couple of minutes to sort himself out, and doing so by giving a very brief report on how our information or the work of the DSSA has been received by the CCNSO. Although I do have to admit that the feedback was quite brief, and that might just be according to the fact that the presentation of the working group's work has been moved around the agenda of the CCNSO meeting for a couple of times, at least behind the scenes. So probably nobody was aware of the fact that there would be a presentation. But if I look in my bag, there are at least a couple of CCNSO members, so they might just solicit their input to what we've been doing in this very meeting. So to put it briefly, just one kind of feedback, and that was Rodolf sitting behind me asking whether or not we are considered with any kind of governmental interferences as well, and if that is in scope or not, and we agreed on that, as we clearly do see that any interference with governments would be in scope of the threats that are being taken care of by the DSSA, and that's all I got concerning the CCNSO.
Thanks, Jorg. I'm in the room. Yay. I think I got in too early. I had to restart a whole bunch of stuff. And so any other co-chairs in the room? Or if not, I'll feedback what I heard from the GNSO. Anybody else there?
Mikey, there are no other co-chairs in the room.
Okay. Well, in the GNSO session, we talked about several things. One is a suggestion that as we get deeper into the analysis here, we engage the DNS providers, especially some of the independent DNS providers, as resources in our group. And one of the things in our charter and part of the project that we're in right now is to reach out beyond our initial membership when we see the need for additional expertise. And I thought this was a pretty neat idea, so I think we'll take this one under advisement in the co-chair group and see we can find some folks that could join us. Another point that was made was that in this update deck, we make a pretty important point, which is that the scope of the DSSA work is pretty narrow. We are looking only at the essentially the root and TLD levels of the DNS. We are not looking at levels in the second level or beyond, and we're certainly not going out to the edge of the network. And we make that point pretty vehemently. Let's just see how my skills are here. There's the charter. I'm hoping that the screen is synced for everybody in the room so that when I roll around, you can see it. This is the point that we made about scope, and you can see how narrow our focus is. And that's not a decision of the DSSA, per se. That's a decision of the five ACs and SOs that chartered us. And the point was raised that we should make this really clear in our report, and I agree with that, and that we may experience some disappointment from some who would hope that our scope was broader. And that may be true, but this is our scope. So that was one of the points that was made in the GNSO. And then one quite lively technical discussion that launched in the GNSO session and then carried on to our list was a point that Bill Manning raised about an interesting puzzle with regard to DNSSEC and the conflict that it may or may not experience when people stand up reputation management systems. And that one carried over to our list, and we've had a pretty lively discussion, mostly between Bill and Jim Galvin, but others as well. And I think that we've agreed that that's one that's going to go into our analysis pile, probably in the area of operational vulnerabilities, so on and so forth. I won't go too deep into that discussion. But anyway, it was a good conversation, and we got some good feedback. Julie, I'm going to ask you to be my eyes and ears here and ask for a show of hands in the room. Would it be useful for people in the room if I very quickly took you all through this update slide deck? Have all of you been in another session where we updated you on our progress, or would it be useful for me to just very quickly go through this again? And if Julie could just let me know what the sense of the room is.
Hi, Mikey. This is Julie. So we do have a few people who say it would be useful based on a show of hands. So I think that's probably a yes.
Okay. Well, let me just I'm assuming that I'm controlling the screen, right?
You are controlling the screen in Adobe, but I'll just need to follow on from your cues here in the room, since the Adobe and the room slides aren't synced.
Oh, okay. Right. Well.
Oh, actually, it's not a problem for you. Christina is now right next to me, so I can watch her screen, which you're controlling in Adobe Connect, and I'll know where we are.
Okay, perfect. Well, let me get back to our charter. This is just a reminder, and I've already sort of touched on this, but we are a group that was chartered by a very broad collection of ACs and SOs. The list is there on the screen for you. And our mission is really to gain a better understanding of the security and stability of the global DNS. That's not to say that we are chartered to make sweeping recommendations or anything like that. We are really a group that's trying to gather data, conduct analysis, reach new understandings. So the goals, we'll skip that. Here's where we are in terms of the work that we're doing. We spent basically the intersessional leading up to Singapore, getting ourselves launched. And then between Singapore and now, the first part of our work plan is to really identify threats and vulnerabilities, and a kind of informal assessment of that is that we're about 70% of the way there. We've got some issues that you'll see in a minute are still under discussion, and we've got some work to do to really flesh that out. But we're making pretty good progress against a very big base of information. And I would, if you were to ask me as a project manager how you doing, I'd say we're on track and doing a darn fine job. Thank you very much. A quick slide just talking about what we've been doing. And again, we've been working on vulnerabilities and threats and so on. One of the things that we have worked pretty hard on is the issue of confidential information is a big deal for this group, because when we get into the analysis, there may be the need for the sharing of that kind of information, and we needed to make sure that everybody who is going to be providing the information, primarily registries and registrars and the like, and maybe DNS providers, are comfortable that their information is safe. And so we've got a pretty good protocol that's nearly done. We're not quite done, but nearly done on that. And as you can see, we're in the solicit additional ideas phase right now. And for those of you in the room, this means you. So as you listen to the rest of this, feel free to chime right in and give us some more ideas. And we need to put these threats and vulnerabilities in some sort of priority sequence. We will not be doing that today. We'll pick one. But over the next few weeks after Dakar is done, that's one of the big focus points, is to rank order this list that we've developed. So the next slide is trying to show just how big the pile of information that we've been looking at is, and it doesn't really do a very good job because the stuff on the left is a tiny fraction of the huge piece of work that the working group has done. And what we've done is ruthlessly consolidated it down to the three pages that you see on the right, and we'll get to those in a second. We did have a pretty lively debate as to who the owner of the quote at the bottom is, and we've decided that we are part owners of that now. This is the scope thing that I talked about a minute ago, and then on to the threats. So the first pile of threats we've started thinking of as sort of threats to the underlying infrastructure itself. And in this category, we have four very broad topics that we consider in scope for our analysis, listed at the top of that page. In the middle, we have a topic that we haven't finished discussing yet, whether the business failure of a registry is a threat to the underlying infrastructure or not. And there are good cases to be made on either side of that. And if you have thoughts about that, we'd love to hear them. And then at least on a preliminary basis, we've taken the depletion of the IPv4 address pool out of scope, primarily because the routing table growth is going to happen no matter what, and the DNS itself is not a heavy consumer of that. And again, if you are very deep into the IPv4 address pool depletion thing and you think that it will impact the DNS in the narrow way that we're thinking about it, we'd love to hear from you about that. The next page is direct attacks, and we have a series of attacks that we have in scope, clearly DDoS attacks, not all DDoS attacks, however. We want to make it clear that these are just DDoS attacks against the root and TLD servers, not all DDoS attacks against everybody on the Internet. all of these in-scope threats are with that caveat. You know, we're not going to deal with everything to do with packet interception. We're going to look at packet interception attacks as it applies to the root and TLDs. In the middle are a couple that we're still working on. IDN attacks, again, against root and TLD. We've decided that we're going to hang on for a bit and wait for the variance projects to get done and circle back to this one. And then we're still debating the malicious or unintentional alteration of DNS configuration information at the root and TLDs. Again. And then we have several that we've taken out of scope. Footprinting is a term that's used when you scan the zone files of an infrastructure provider and build a footprint of their infrastructure by doing that. There are a number of these kinds of things that we think are threat vectors, but they're fairly limited and they're not likely to cause widespread instability. Same point on this slide, which is if we are making a mistake, we'd love to hear about that. And then indirect attacks, we have one that's in scope and a number of them that are out of scope. The out-of-scope ones are primarily out-of-scope because we don't feel that these are attacks against the DNS at the root and TLD level. This is not to say that they're outside of ICANN scope, that they're not important. They're just outside the scope of our project. But in-scope is a pretty esoteric email problem, which is that as IPv6 rolls in, there's the possibility that bad actors will hop their servers very rapidly across a large number of IPv6 addresses in the address space, which may cause collateral damage at the root or the TLD. And so we're going to take a look at that one. And then the last sort of work product page is a list of the vulnerabilities that we're going to take a look at. And the way to think about this page is at the top are a bunch of operational issues, infrastructure vulnerabilities, technical process vulnerabilities, and so on. At the bottom are a series of managerial choices which may induce vulnerabilities. And in the middle is a pretty broad topic that aims to look at the issues around registry failure and continuity. And we put that in the middle because it really contains both operational and managerial issues. So that gives you sort of a sense of what we've been doing between Singapore and Dakar. Hopefully that's useful. Maybe I'll turn it back to Julie and listen in as if there are questions or comments from the room. We'd love to hear those and get them on our record, and we'll fold them into our analysis as we go forward. Julie, you want to take over for a minute?
yes, Mikey, Luis Espinosa from .cr. I was thinking about threats out of the scope because, by example, registration abuse could be in the scope if that threat could affect IANA, by example. Then I think many of the things is out of the scope if we analyze against root or top-level domains issues or entities. Now we can get in the scope, but specifically talking about this organization, for example. That's my comment.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and one of the issues that we've got as a group is that we do have to draw some sort of boundaries around what we do in order to get done. Because as you can see from this list, we've got a pretty gigantic piece of work to do. But our goal is not to be so ruthless in narrowing our scope that we miss something important. And that's part of the reason why co-chairs are characterizing this as not done yet, because we do have some issues like that to still work through. Thanks, Elise.
Hang on, Mikey. We do have a question, and I'm getting a mic over to this person. Hold on.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, sorry. It's not a question, but it's just on. Okay. Okay, it's not a question, it's just an opinion. For this important section, I think you must, you have to make some translation dispositive for someone who don't speak really English. But it's an important session. You have to participate. Thank you.
Julie, if you could get the person's name, it's good to get that in the transcript. I agree with you a lot. One of the problems with this particular session is that this is really a face-to-face session for the working group itself. And as a result, I bet there is not transcription, live transcription going on in the room.
Mikey, this is Julie. There isn't live transcription, but it is being recorded. The gentleman's name was Zimame Bakum.
Zimame, thank you very much for that thought. And I think one of the things that we will do for our next session is plan a little bit better for participation by people outside the working group. Any other questions from the room, Julie?
Did that address your question? Yes, there is. Rod Rasmussen and then the other gentleman.
Okay. Uh-oh, Rod Rasmussen's really smart. I'm in trouble now.
I won't say it, a smart something, because this would be in the transcript. Hey, Mikey, good to hear from you. Wish you could be here.
Me too.
I saw this earlier in a couple other sessions, and had been chatting with this about with these definitions and scope issues with a few people. And as you might imagine, I have a different opinion. I just had a couple of observations and specific examples. And I think that the biggest thing I have an issue with is calling TLDs and root the DNS, because the DNS it includes everything. So just the terminology, I would suggest coming up with a different terminology set there. You're going to have a lot of people discounting some of the things that are going on. I appreciate that you need to have a bright line somewhere, given the scope of work. A couple of the interactions I see here too is everything above the root is defined based on second, third, and fourth label via the name servers, right? So you can't get away from looking at vulnerabilities without looking at vulnerabilities in those levels, anyways. If you're just talking about TLDs. Because they all have name server definitions somewhere in the higher hierarchy that's farther down. And another concern I have, and I'm sorry, there is a volume of work there, and I haven't been able to go through it all, but was there consideration given to especially ccTLD registries, but I'm assuming that some of the new gTLDs will do the same thing, in that they create second level labels within the ccTLD that are then run by the registry themselves, so co.uk, com.au, those kinds of things are second level, but basically considered for all intents and purposes first level for people doing registrations underneath them. So those are I think that's a consideration if you define TLD as just the first part of the or the first word in the DNS string, you're going to miss a lot of what is practically considered a TLD. And then just my last comment on this was that I would say that if you define it as narrowly as you are as far as TLD and root, then a lot of the vulnerabilities and risks and things that are mentioned are really pretty well taken care of, at least for major operators. The big TLDs and the, obviously root are being run, and a lot of these things have been baked into process already. So it becomes a lot easier to solve the, or to put together a report, but I'm not sure that you're capturing the essence of where we're going to see risk. So those are my comments. And if you could answer that question I had on the registry subdivisions, that I'd appreciate that if you can. I'm not sure if you can or not, but I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, Rod, you're going to get the standard co-chair process guy answer on this one, which is this, and that darn good question. I'm not sure I have an answer. We, as far as I know, we haven't explicitly thought of that, and so I think it's this kind of conversation that's really important. Jorg may want to jump in on this one. I'm not sure if that's the one that...
Yeah, that was exactly
that,
the one
that
I was,
you
I was trying
to jump in on, Jorg?
I was trying to answer. And first, Rod, thanks a lot for mentioning that once again, because there had been intensive discussions whether or not it does make sense to just take a look at the root level and TLD level. I, speaking in my own capacity, do not think that we are deep enough in that respect myself. But the decision to state it that way was just due to the fact that we had been chartered that way. So we would have really to amend or broaden the charter, saying we're not only concerned with TLDs and the root. And I think the charter has been drawn the way it actually has been because that's ICANN's role. And that's the reason why I do see that the charter's the way it currently is. And if we really feel that the complete work is simply going to go nowhere or is leaving the major issue out of scope and out of concern, we really appreciate a strong word of the community towards that, and we just might want to approach our charter to see what we can do with that.
This is Mikey. Let me follow up on that. I think there are several courses available. One is to head back to our respective ACs and SOs for a revision of our charter. Another is to finish this round of work under the charter we've got and include in our recommendations observations about major issues that fall outside our scope but which need consideration. I think there are lots of ways to handle this that we can explore, and I'm back to my original response to Rod, which is I'm not sure that the question, the way you framed it, has... We've certainly talked a lot about the scope in terms of TLD and root, but I'm not sure that we ever brought up the subtlety of what your point was, which is essentially TLD-like subdomains under ccTLDs like co.uk, just to pick on them. So, I think this goes in the good feedback, let us go back and chew on it pile, and heartfelt thanks on that one.
And Mikey, we have a question from Andrew Sullivan.
Okay.
Hi, this is Andrew Sullivan. On the topic of the name servers for TLDs, and you're quite right, of course, that most of them are inside some TLD. Surely within the charter, at least as I read it, you could include that as in scope, even though you're not including all of the things below that, because it goes directly to the operational conditions of the name servers themselves. So I think that can be considered completely in scope, and I completely agree with you, however, that it darn well better be looked at.
Yeah, I think that there's probably pretty broad agreement. But what you're experiencing here is the balancing act between sort of the right thing to do and the limits of running a project. One of the issues that I, as a former project manager, always worry about is that the work gets so big that we never finish. And that's part of the reason that I'm tiptoeing around this so carefully, is because we want to make sure that we get something out to the community in a reasonable amount of time.
So, this is Andrew again. I appreciate that, but I do think that compared to some of the threats that you've identified, like for instance, I mean, you know, the sort of physical infrastructure threats to most TLD name servers, particularly the entire set, are considerably lower than screw ups in the delegation chain, which happen, you know, practically weekly if you look at the logs. So I mean, you know, that's a kind of threat that I think is sort of super important. And if I were having to make that that choice, then I would, there are some things here that I would de-emphasize as compared to that delegation chain issue for the name servers themselves, which has been a long-standing thorn.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, this is perfect. Let's keep this going. You know, I'm going to try and be as transparent and neutral on this as I can, because I think I ought to. But, you know, this is good stuff.
Hey, Mikey, this is Rod again. And I want to just elaborate on that last point as well. Well, two things. One is that, unfortunately, because if you're looking at vulnerabilities or issues within the name server space, you kind of bring in all those other vulnerabilities that, well, how does that become vulnerable? It's because of all these things that you've put out of scope. So it's a tough dilemma there. The other thing too is that I would point out that a lot of the
Rod, let me interrupt you on one thing, because there's an important clarification that I need to make, and that is that if one of those things at red is a threat vector to the root or a TLD, then that's in scope. What we're not going to do is all of those threats to all layers.
Right. I realize that. And it's the recursive nature of DNS. You can define things at a higher level than you're actually at.
Yeah.
The other thing I would point out is that because of the way that TLD operations with new root name servers are set up, you often have cross TLD, and now we have DNSSEC added to that mix. So there's a vulnerability introduced around DNSSEC operations that are going across name servers that are supporting other TLDs. I don't know that we've seen anything happen. I'm getting a yes, we have. And we've certainly seen some issues within TLDs themselves of problems where they've taken themselves offline because of DNSSEC update issues and things like that. And if you could imagine.
Ooh, if there are links to any of that, we've got a pile of places to put that kind of information. That's extremely valuable.
Okay.
And, you know, anybody who's got links to examples of things like that, or even theoretical possibilities that people are concerned about, we're really interested in that sort of stuff. Sorry to interrupt you. You were on to another point. I just wanted to halt you there.
No, I was done.
Okay.
Okay, Mikey, this is Keith Drazik with VeriSign. I'm here also representing the registry stakeholder group. I just wanted to make a general comment, not nearly as specific as some of the others that have been made here so far. But I think we as a group have done a lot of work, a lot of very good work in terms of sort of the identifying the scope. We cast a very, very wide net in the very early days, and then sort of we went through the process of narrowing it down appropriately. So, and I think what we're hearing, and I think what you said, I'd like to reiterate, is that, you know, we'd be better off having a little bit too much than not enough in terms of the items and the things that we've identified. And completely agree with your comment about having to, you know, keep our focus to be able to, basically to get the project done and keep it moving and, you know, be responsive to the community. But, you know, if there's ever, you know, a sort of that challenge where we have to make a decision, I would
submit that it's better to include something and maybe go a little too far than not go far enough.
Yeah, that's I really appreciate that thought, Keith, because I think the thing that we're all trying to do is avoid a situation where we trot out our report at the end and Rod stands up and says, well, you missed this giant thing. It's really important. That's clearly not our goal. So at the same time, we are a little bit peculiar in that we were chartered by five different ACs and SOs. And so we have to be fairly careful that we don't adventure too far off of the mission that we were given by these groups. But I think in there is plenty of room to maneuver, plenty of gray area to make sure that we get the right stuff in there. And if nothing else, we get it in there in such a way as a reminder to the next group that, hey, here's a huge issue that we just didn't feel was appropriate for our gang.
Yeah, agreed, Mikey. This is Keith again for the scribes. Yeah, and I think that if we ever find ourselves in that situation, or as we probably will, where we've got something that we're including that may have been a little bit beyond the strict reading of the scope, is that we simply acknowledge that in the report or in the documentation that say, you know, we've you know, this is you know, we recognize that this you know, may have been a bit out of the scope, but here is why we're including it. You know, sort of just make that acknowledgement.
Yep, that's a good idea too. I see a person named SOW with their hand raised in the chat room. Are you on the call as well? I don't know. SOW also asked the question, what can we do to become a member of this group? And this is a group that was chartered by five ACs and SOs, and so each of those groups picked membership for the group. And the one caveat to that is that we are keeping an eye out for folks with expertise, such as the external DNS providers and so on. So depending on where you come from and what your expertise is, probably the best way to do this is to work through your respective AC or SO, because there is a certain amount of turnover in the group. And then if you don't fall in any of those silos, send me or any of the co-chairs a note, and we'll take it up in our co-chair group. Andrew is going crazy in the chat. Oh, good. There's Link.
Sorry, that was good. Just some background stuff, and I didn't want to talk.
Yeah, no, I get that. And, you know, for those of you who don't want to talk but have ideas and links, this is a great use of the chat. We transcribe the chat and, you know, you treat it just like spoken stuff, and especially links and reasoned arguments like Andrew is doing. Is fair game. Feel free to bang away in the chat. And then if you actually have a question that you want to put to the group, just capitalize that somewhere in there so that I see it. Anything else in the room, Julie?
I'm not seeing any other questions in the room. Mikey?
Okay. I think at this point, we're running a little over on my half-hour schedule, but let me very briefly update the group, and Jorg, who is in the meeting as well, can and anybody else, Julie, Jim Gallen, anybody else who was there. We met with the SSRRT, Affirmation of Commitments Review Team, this morning, because they're working on security and stability as well, and question becomes, you know, are you competing with each other? Are you duplicating each other's work? How can you collaborate better, et cetera, et cetera? And so we, the two groups, set up a meeting for ourselves this morning to just check in and make sure that we weren't stepping on each other's work or reinventing the wheel. Had a pretty productive meeting. I think that the three topics that came through for me, transcribing them at 3 a.m. in the morning my time, were that the clients of the two projects are slightly different. The client or the customer of the SSRRT is a much broader managerial kind of client. The SSRT is really doing, I think, sort of a managerial review of security and stability across ICANN. And so their scope is very broad, very managerial in focus, and the expectation is that they are going to make recommendations, managerial recommendations, to ICANN as a result of their work. Our scope is very narrow by comparison. We are looking at threats and vulnerabilities to the DNS, pick your definition of the DNS, with the goal of really understanding what's going on in a very deep way. But we're not doing anything in terms of that much broader managerial topic at this time. In our charter, the way our work is described is we're supposed to conduct a very deep analysis, and if we find gaps, we are encouraged to identify ideas to fill those gaps, but it's not in any way conflicting with the SSRRT work. They're the ones that are really charged with the job of making managerial recommendations to ICANN as to the future handling of this kind of stuff. And our goal is really much narrower than theirs. Our timing is also different than theirs in that we're going to be at our work considerably longer than the target dates for the SSRRT, which I think SSRT is supposed to be done at the next meeting in Costa Rica, whereas we will not, for sure. Another topic that we talked a bit about was the degree to which we need to coordinate and collaborate at sort of a managerial level, and I think that we're going to take a topic amongst the co-chairs about that. I think that the message that we want to send to the SSRT folks is that if they would like a more active liaison with us, we're very open to that. But they're on a very tight schedule, and I think the sense that I got from Alejandro is we don't have a lot of time to be doing an elaborate coordination with you folks. We're comfortable that what DSSA is doing is not conflicting with what we're doing and may enrich our findings, but we don't have the cycles to spare to spend a lot of time cross-coordinating with you. So that's sort of the summary of what I heard at the joint meeting. I thought it was a great meeting, although I was pretty sleepy, and I may have missed some important points there. Anybody in the room want to add to that was at the meeting?
This is Jörg again. I just want to add some comment to make it clearer for the folks around here, and I hope I can do so. As far as I understood, the SSRT is more process-focused, and it's a little bit something like a security framework. So if one of you knows ISO 27001 or 000 or the according British standards, so to me it appeared that they're a little bit more on this kind of level, working at a security framework according to those standards, but transferred to the needs of ICANN, where the work of the DSSA might fit in very nicely, just being a
very specific part or a very specific detail that can easily feed in one of their sub-points.
Yeah, I think that's right. One of the points that Alejandro made was that simply by our existence and by the work that we're doing, we're addressing one of the issues that they may raise. And so, you know, there was a pretty high level of comfort with that. Okay, anything else about SSRRT? Going once, going twice. All right, I'm gonna take a quick process checkpoint because it dawns on me that with folks in the room as engaged as Rod, the next chunk of work, what I was imagining, because when I was setting the agenda for this, I was thinking that this was going to be primarily a working session for the DSSA folks. But another way to do this, as long as folks are in the room and interested, is we could do the face-to-face work with everybody in the room, rather than kicking the observers out of the process. The next piece of work that I was thinking we would do is break into small groups, I don't know, 4 to 7 people, huddle around a piece of paper and a scribe, take that one pager, hopefully there are copies of the one page summary in the room, and pick one as sort of the, to give you a sense of the process update. While we're fairly close on getting our topics identified and so on, there's a pretty strong sense in the group that we need to get on to doing some real analysis here. We are actually chartered to do analysis, not to make lists of things to analyze. And our thought amongst the co-chairs was that what we would do is at Dakar, we would pick one, not all of them, but pick one that would be a good sort of test case for our analysis. And when I put this agenda together, I was thinking that the DSSA members would be doing that, but I'm not sure that we need to be so exclusionary. And so, Jorg and anybody else in the ops team who wants to chime in on this, or anybody in the working group for that matter, what's the sense of people if we just said anybody that's there in the room right now could join this conversation? Any tremendous objection to that? Seems to me that anybody that's interested enough to show up at this meeting could certainly make a big contribution to the work, and it'd be a lot more interesting than just watching us work. And then Rosella is raising the question, well, what about the people on Adobe? And what I thought I would do is break the telephone call off from the room, and we would do the same thing on the conference bridge in the Adobe room, and then rejoin the room in about, oh, I don't know.
Mikey.
Yeah, go ahead.
Auntie Cheryl talking. Guess
yeah,
what, darling? This room, the dynamics, the people you've got in the room, the number of people you've got in the room, think of another idea. It's just not going to work.
Bad idea. Okay. Well, then I'm going to go back to my original plan, which is that the DSSA group should huddle in small groups in the room. And apologies to you observers. The next time we schedule this meeting at ICANN, we'll make it clear that this is really a working group session. You've now sort of lived through the interesting part. You're certainly welcome to stay, but I think what we'll do is go back to the original plan, which is DSSA members will huddle in small groups to do this priority setting stuff, and the same goes for the folks in the Adobe room and on the phone call. Folks are welcome to stay and listen,
okay,
but limit it to
Mikey,
a DSSA member.
Mikey.
Yes.
Cheryl,
yeah.
Yeah. Just help me with this, will you? You want us to gather together in small groups of a number doesn't matter how large or small. Then look at our list that we've all discussed as a committee of a whole, and then severally pick one to discuss, or are we going to jointly pick one to discuss in small groups? Because that's two different things, and I'm not sure which way we're going at the moment.
Well, you mean I haven't been perfectly clear?
Astonishing as that may be, voice of God, that you are in this room, no.
I'm shocked. Gracious. So my thought is this. Let me replay that tape in a different way, is that the goal for today, pretty aggressive goal, by the way, is to pick one topic that we would use as a test case for our analysis work. So let me just scroll the slides down to one of these pages. Hang on a minute. Cheryl will also now criticize me for mumbling. I mumble when I'm multitasking, and Cheryl keeps me honest on that. But what I was thinking is that if we took the one-pager, which I don't have up on the screen, but these topics are on that one-pager, and the goal would be to pick one of these topics, not just from this page, but from the whole one-pager, so all of those four pages, that everybody agrees, or at least a lot of people agree, is very, very, very important. It's not that anything is going to get left off. It's just that rather than do the analysis on everything right away, especially the co-chairs think it would be a good idea if we focused on one to try out how we're going to do analysis. So the idea for the small groups goes like this. Take the one-pager, sit in a small group. Everybody takes a moment to maybe pick their top three. Then share your respective views about what you think the top three most important things are. See if there is a trend, and if there is, identify the number one most important thing on the one-pager. Bring that back to the whole group for a quick discussion at the end of this call. I think I'm going to jettison. I think we're going to do one of these sessions, not two, since we're nearly done with the second half hour already.
Yeah, Mikey, just, I'm sorry to interrupt, this is Julie, but just on that point, we do only have 35 minutes left of this session, and some of us actually have other sessions we have to go to from this meeting at 12:30. Cheryl wants to speak.
Mikey, it's time for me to be brutally honest. If you break us up into small groups, even I'm leaving.
Okay, fine.
Mikey, this is Jörg. Let me jump in also. I doubt that we're really going to get this organized in a straightforward way. But if we really want to take advantage of everybody who's here and being a part of this discussion, what I would like to suggest is that we at least get some input, not according to analyzing certain threats, but according to the importance of certain points on our list from the audience. So just soliciting what people think, what might be the most important one. And that could really be easy done on the one pager, and that could include everybody who is in the room. And just to make it a little bit more conclusionary, I would try to do it in a little bit different way. So just like everybody's got 3 points, and he can concentrate those 3 points on any point on the list, or he can just spread them as he wants to. And we're going to get those sheets back and analyze what, according to the people currently taking part in this discussion, think is really the most important thing. And I doubt that we're going to get any further than this in this very meeting. Good plan for you
I
as well?
You're probably right. Yeah, that's fine. For those of you who are observing, you can tell that the co-chairs have a pretty robust, pretty collaborative relationship out there. And Cheryl beats me up all the time. So taking York's idea, hopefully there are enough copies of the one pager that everybody in the room has got one and can get one.
Yeah, Mikey, this is Julie. We did circulate them at the beginning, and I just went around and waved them. We do have extra copies. Everybody assures me that they have one if they want one.
Okay, so here's how it works. Scribble your name and email address on the top of your one pager, and as Jorg said, you get three votes. You get to vote for, and you get to distribute those votes against that one pager, either putting all your votes on one thing or spreading them across three.
Mikey, stop, please.
Yes, ma'am.
We just let us do it without distributing votes and priorities.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just, trying to back up my co-chair there. That's what he said to do. I was just, trying to hang in there. You want to just talk?
No, I thought I was clear with my suggestion. I think Cheryl just reacted on you asking everybody to put his name on the sheet. And I was tempted myself to write upon it .XXX or something. So feel free to just pick your favorite three.
Anonymously, if you want.
So Mikey, just to inform you, the process is just taking place.
Yes, okay. I was going to say the silence that you're hearing is people diligently doing their jobs. And I would remind everyone not to cheat off your neighbor.
Yes.
And be sure to send your papers to the front of the class.
And the proctors will be checking. And those of you who are on the call, this is homework. Because there's no way that I can figure out how to do this on the call. But everybody gets to contribute their votes. You can do it by email. So if you want to take a moment and break off. And maybe that's the thing to do. Given the fact that it's the top of the hour right now. So I'll go back to York. So, York, are you thinking that maybe we then tally these yet today in the meeting? Or do we just collect them and tally them later?
Mikey, I can hardly understand you. I heard you've been addressing me, but there's so much babbling going on. Just write it down in the chat, please.
Sorry,
let me do it in the chat.
Yeah, so just for clarification for those on the phone, we're trying to do a little bit of prioritization here, looking at just the threats. So for those of you looking at the one-pager, skip the vulnerability side and look at the threat side. And this is to help us to prioritize where to start.
just another brief hint to the audience in the room. I hope that I would not see too many votes for the red ones.
So, for those on the phone, and Mikey, we did get a nice collection of the one-pagers with priorities, or the sort of the top three indicated, depending on how people did that. And I was wondering how you might want to proceed at this point, although we'll need a little bit of time to tally these, and that might have to really take place after this meeting, because I don't think we really have time to get them tallied up and so on right now. So what did you envision was the next step, Mikey?
This implies that I am envisioning. we're making this up as we go. I think if there's sometimes when you look at those kinds of sheets, there's sort of an overwhelming trend that you can just see by flipping through them. And if there is such a trend, it would be nice to just flip through them really quick. Don't actually do all the arithmetic and tally them up, but just to see if there are one or two topics that seem to get a whole lot of attention from folks. I think it's useful for people in the room just to get a sense of what their feedback was. If there isn't any trend like that, then I think Jorg's suggestion in the chat is probably right, which is we should probably just wrap the meeting up, let people get on to the next thing. So I'll leave it to those of you who can actually see the sheets to see if there's kind of an overwhelming clustering around one or two topics that people would like to hear about. And then if not, we'll call it a day.
So, Mikey, this is Rod. While they're busy tallying, I'm going to grab the mic and ask a question. Since I'm looking carefully at that sheet, there was something on there that kind of stuck out as me as being very odd, and that was the spam category. Is that something very specific, or just since we're waiting, we could fill the space with actually, it might be able to illuminate what that is.
I am just going to have to... This implies that I actually have the one cheater info. Oh, get that. I have to go look at the sheet because I can't really remember what we had on there.
And all the sheets are now in the possession of the people at the head of the table, so I can't look at
them. I've got the actual document, so I think that what we were...
So, Mikey, this is Julie. Jorg and I were just kind of glancing through the sheets. With just a quick look, it's very hard to identify a trend. I mean, we might be able to see one if we could break the items out and kind of see in a way like how many votes each one got, you know, how many people picked. Because not everybody prioritized. Some people just circled three. Some people did one, two, three. So we don't have the exact same methodology for making the choices. So just at a glance, final point is that it's hard to say at this point.
All right. So which spam one? Oh, InScope email spam on the one pager. That's the – let me take you to the slide. That's the one where as IPv6 comes in, spammers may start – suddenly hopping across a lot of IPv6 addresses and causing a lot of load on DNS as a result.
Got it. Thanks.
I'm quickly running out of gas. This is, you know, if John Levine was on the call or in the room, I'd throw the ball to him.
I understand it. Thanks. That's good.
And Mikey, that email / spam one was only picked by one person out of 20 some that we had.
Oh, I'm sure that Rod's question is the "what in the heck are you talking about?" question. So, okay, well, thanks all for a lively and somewhat fluid meeting. I think this accomplished a lot of what I was hoping to accomplish anyway, even though it turned out a little different than what I was planning. And I think at this point I'll sort of step back and let Julie and Jorg wrap the meeting up and send you on your way. And I'll see the rest of you DSSA folks in a couple of weeks.
Just huge thank you, Mikey.
Good job.
Cheryl here for the transcript record. The amount of work you've put in prepping this work group for this meeting, and indeed intersessionally and at all the meetings, I think should be noted at these rather formal gatherings of the ICANN meeting where the work group gets together. You are a chairman extraordinaire, despite the fact that I will take advantage of you whenever I possibly can, but we know each other well enough there. You are a hero. You're certainly my hero, and this work group wouldn't be where it is today without you. So I just wanted to have on the formal record my personal thanks, and I suspect that of many around the table, if not all.
Well, I also have to echo back that I think that this working group has an extraordinary group of people in it that Churchill's phrase is the one that comes to mind, which is, I'm not the lion, I just get to give the roar. This is a very hardworking group that's produced an enormous body of work, and that blame or credit should be shared very broadly. So thanks for the kind words, Cheryl, but back on you on that one.
Yeah, this is Edmund. Before we close, I just wanted to bring sort of an information into this. At the ALAC, we had some discussion about what's in scope, out scope. I just want to bring it back. I guess Olivia or Cheryl can add to that or correct me. But we felt that, at least the ALAC felt that the business failure should be in scope. So this might be one of the things that we want to talk about later, not in this session, but I don't know if Olivia or want to add.
Perfect. That's great, because that's one of the ones that's still under discussion, and it's great to get that feedback. I think Olivia and Cheryl weren't in the room when I called for that, so it's really helpful that you came back to that, Edmund. Thanks.
Mikey, Olivier here. Actually, what we will do, we will go over the transcript of our sessions. Much was discussed, and what we will do is to summarize and feed into this working group with our findings from the transcripts.
Oh, great. That's even better.
Is there anybody else in the room who would like to make a comment or have a question? Then I think that we're complete here. I want to thank everybody for attending this session today. And there will indeed be a transcript done of this meeting. It will be posted on the site, and we'll send it around to the work group when it's available. And there also has been a recording made. And I have captured the votes on the threats, and I will try to transcribe them in some way and send them around to the work group. Anything else you want to add, Mikey?
Nope, that's it for me. Thanks, all. See you all soon.
Thanks. See you soon. Bye-bye. This session
Bye-bye.
Is it? Oh, yes. No, okay. This session is adjourned.